small guy, and we lived in Costa Rica. And so right off the bat, whenever you're living in another country, the story I'm about to tell just gets super sketchy right from the beginning. So I was living in another country, living in Costa Rica, and we went to the fair. And we went to the fair, they had all kinds of rides, and they had this one ride, this roller coaster, and it was called Ratón Loco, which means, what does it mean, Mel? Crazy Mouse. And so we get on the Crazy Mouse. My dad puts me on it, and I'm a little bit afraid to get on the Crazy Mouse. Now, I love roller coasters. You take me to Six Flags, you take me to Disney, you take me to Universal, I'll ride anything and everything that they've got. Absolutely love roller coasters. I'm never scared on the roller coasters. I have a great time on roller coasters. But when I got on Ratón Loco, I got really scared. And part of the reason I got scared on Ratón Loco is because whenever you get on it, the whole thing was shaking. Like whenever you get on a ride, when you get on a ride at Universal or Disney or Six Flags, they've got big, huge, you know, structures holding these rides up. Ratón Loco was kind of like that, huh? Yeah, be quiet. Ratón Loco was kind of like that tripod in the back holding up the camera. Like that was holding the ride. And so the whole thing's shaking, even as it is, and screws are popping out everywhere, and we're on the Ratón Loco, and whenever you're riding on it, the problem with it is, it's not one of those rides like at Six Flags where you're doing this, and you're making curves. No. This one is 90-degree angles. You're not supposed to make 90-degree angles on a roller coaster. And so we're in this thing, and we're riding, and everything's shaking, and we're riding straight off the ride, and then all of a sudden, as you get to the end where you're supposed to fall and die, the thing just automatically turns and throws you this way. And so as a little kid, like, I wonder now what's wrong with my back. It's that. I know. Because I got shaken up and thrown all over the place. And there was this level where you look at this ride, and you're on this ride, and you're scared of the ride because the ride just didn't seem sound. Right? It didn't feel like it gave me any kind of confidence whatsoever. It was shaking. It was very inconsistent. And last week we talked about how we have to trust God. But this week we're going to flip it around. We're going to look at the mirror image of last week's message. And we're going to talk about God being able to trust us. And I think sometimes our lives are a little bit like Ratón Loco in that we're just very inconsistent and unfaithful. And I'm curious as to whether or not God can trust us with what he has for us. And so we're always asking God, God, give me something. God, bless us with this. Bless me with that. And I wonder if God's saying, I would love to bless you, but I don't know that I can trust you with what I'm trying to give you. We were talking this week. I was talking to Josh Holt and his son, DC, just started walking, and he was showing us videos of him walking down the street, because that's how Josh is. When his son learns how to walk, y'all put your son in the carpet, Josh puts his on the street. So don't say sidewalk, it was a street. We're going to say street for the message. And so he's walking, and it's funny, he's walking, and it doesn't take very much to throw him off, right? As soon as he's walking and that sidewalk dips up just a little bit for a driveway, it throws him off just a little bit. It's that inconsistency that we see in life that just kind of throws us off. Have you ever been mad? You gone to a ball game and the referees, the umpires, I don't care if they make a bad call. I just want them to be consistent with their bad calls. If you're going to make a bad call on me, make a bad call on them too. And there's a level of consistency that we look for in life. And I think sometimes what we have is in the individuals, in ourselves, is we have these inconsistencies. As a boss, I work with people. As a parent, I work with people, little people in my home, right? And so I'm always looking, can I trust this person? Are they emotionally going to be up or down? Am I going to be able to trust whenever they come through those doors? Are they going to be the same person every day? Or am I going to have to walk on eggshells some days, and some days I know what I'm getting? Whenever I give someone a task, can I trust that they're going to do that task, or am I going to have to wait 3 days for it to get done? Yes, I'm talking about my kids. But it works the same way as a boss in your job? I mean, some of us talk about how our bosses, and I've thought about this before. Actually, as I was preparing, I was thinking about my past, and I thought, how many times have I said that my boss is a workaholic? How many times have I said that my boss does everything and needs to settle down and needs to delegate and needs to give stuff away? And then I look back at myself, and I thought, you know what? Maybe I was part of the problem. Maybe I was so inconsistent and not trustworthy that my boss felt like he had to do the work himself because I wouldn't do it. Maybe I wouldn't do it in a timely manner, or maybe I wouldn't do it at all, or maybe I would do it, but I complained the whole time that I had to do it. And so then I start thinking about God, and I start thinking about myself, and I start wondering, God, am I that kind of person? And so I start looking at the life of Daniel, because that's who we've been studying. And today we're going to be in Daniel chapter 6. So if you want to turn to Daniel chapter 6, that's where we're going to be. And I start looking at Daniel's life, and I start realizing Daniel was a faithful person. He was just faithful. And what does it mean to be faithful? To be faithful means to be consistent. It means to be stable. It means to be unwavering. To be faithful means to do your job and do it without complaining. Daniel was just a faithful, solid dude. Daniel had some cool dreams. Daniel prophesied some stuff about the future. Absolutely, that's really cool. But we never see Daniel raise anybody from the dead. We never see Daniel heal the sick. We never see Daniel get up and preach a powerful message and thousands of people get saved. We don't see these big things like we see in the other prophets. But one thing we see out of Daniel is Daniel is just super consistent. You look at Elisha. Elijah, when you look at Elijah's life, he's very up and down. He's conquering the people of Baal, and then the next thing you know, he's depressed and ready to commit suicide. I mean, Elijah's like this sometimes. You look at Peter. Peter's like this. One minute he's saying, Jesus, you are the Lord. The next minute Jesus is saying, get thee behind me, Satan. And so we got these inconsistent people throughout the scriptures, and that's okay because we're inconsistent, but we want to look at Daniel as kind of somebody that we can build our life around. Say, hey, I think I can be like Daniel. I want to learn to be faithful like Daniel was faithful. And so we're going to look at some stuff in his life. And I feel like there's four arenas of Daniel's life where he was just super faithful. Four arenas where he's super faithful, and I think we can take some of this stuff for ourselves. The first place, let me share a little bit about Daniel real quick, sorry. I just want to say this because it's going to start off in Daniel 6:1. It says Darius, and we've been talking about Nebuchadnezzar, and we talked about Belshazzar. Daniel, at this point in the scripture, one of the things I've noticed, if you're doing the Bible reading plan that I'm doing, we're reading Daniel right now, actually, and I've noticed that Daniel is not written in chronological order. Kind of skips around a little bit, the book does. As faithful as he was, his book is not faithful to time, right? But one of the things I noticed is it's a little bit out of order. So in this point in Daniel's life, they say he's probably in his 80s. He's been in Babylon a long time. He's probably in his 80s, and Darius is the third king that he served under. He served under Nebuchadnezzar to start with, then Nebi's son, Belshazzar. And then after Belshazzar gets murdered, Darius takes over, and he would serve all of Darius's reign and into Cyrus's reign. He would serve under Cyrus for only 1 year, I guess, before Daniel passed away. So Daniel's an older man now. He's lived his life of consistency and faithfulness. And at this point, every king that he's had has promoted him. Every king that he's had, all of his bosses love him. And so we're going to pick up Daniel 6:1 because Daniel was faithful in his work. The first one is faithful in your work. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. So in other words, Daniel, there's a whole group of people, leaders. Out of that group of leaders, the king chose three. And then out of those three, he chose one, and that one was Daniel to be over all of them. Verse 3, then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Just quick pause right there. We're talking about being faithful in your work. One of the things it says was an excellent spirit was in him. That's good for us. If we're going to work, we need to go to work with an excellent spirit. There's plenty of times when I come to work here and I don't have an excellent spirit and I need to pick things up a little bit. But that's why whenever we pray in the mornings before church and I'm walking around, I'm trying to find little pieces of trash I can pick up. And I'm dusting things sometimes. Obviously, I didn't dust that over there today. But why do I do that? Because I have not OCD, an excellent spirit, right? You can call it OCD if you want to. I call it excellent spirit. Verse 4. Then the high officials and the satraps sought for ground to find ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful and no error or fault was found in him. Listen, these guys are trying to turn against Daniel. They're trying to take over. They're jealous of who Daniel is. They're jealous of his promotion. They're jealous. They're saying, look, first of all, this guy is a Jew. He's not even a Babylonian or Persian at this point. Second of all, this guy is 80 years old. I don't want him in charge of me. I want to be in charge. And so they're trying to get over on Daniel, and they're trying to find some fault in his work life. And the Bible says they can find no fault in his work life because he was faithful. He was faithful in his job. There was no error or fault found in him. Proverbs 22:29 is one of my favorite verses. It says, do you see any truly competent workers? They will serve kings rather than working for ordinary people. Another version says, do you see a man diligent in his work? He will serve kings and not mere men. I love that verse. And listen, for those of you that are getting jobs, especially you younger guys that are getting jobs and you're just starting out, listen, learn to be diligent in your work. Learn to work hard. Learn to be okay with some long hours sometimes. Learn to be okay with being diligent and going back through it multiple times until you get it right. It's okay. It's not going to hurt you. Because the Bible says whenever we work hard, when we're diligent, when we've got an excellent spirit, when we're faithful, that we'll stand before kings. We'll have places of influence, not just mere men. If the only thing you're consistent about is being late, that's a problem. Show up on time, put a smile on your face, work hard, don't complain. Amen. Nobody likes that point. So let's keep moving. Colossians 3:23. You know, I've said a lot of things from this pulpit, and I've gotten some dirty looks before, but that was probably the most consistent level of dirty looks I've ever gotten across the board. So let's just read what the Bible says. The Bible says, work willingly at whatever you do as though you are working for the Lord rather than for people. Ouch. Yeah, but Gabriel, my boss is the devil. I don't care who your boss is. Daniel's boss literally, they were kings that served other gods. And Daniel worked hard. And you're saying, but I don't want to work hard for this guy. I don't want to be a part of this. Listen, you work, be diligent where you are now, and the Bible says he'll put you before kings and not mere men. Maybe you need a promotion out of that place. Absolutely, you probably do, but you're not going to get it by being late. You're not going to get it by being inconsistent. You're not going to get it by complaining. You're not going to get it by not showing up and not doing your job. Work hard where God puts you, and work like you're working for the Lord rather than for men. The second arena that Daniel was faithful in is he was faithful in his devotion. He's faithful in his devotion. And so we're going to skip down a little bit. So these guys are trying to make a plan. So let's kind of get to their plan. So what happened was they said, we can't get him on his work, so let's find something in his faith. Like, let's figure out something in his religion where we can catch him. And so they've noticed some things about Daniel. And so they go to the king and they say, hey, king, we got an idea. We know that you're really a god. And how about this? Instead of people praying to their gods, we think people ought to only pray to you. So they're gassing up the king, right? Like they're pumping the king up. They're making the king feel good. And the king is obviously going to be like, you know what? That's a pretty good idea. Let's do that. And they said, well, let's do this. Let's make it a law across the land that people can only pray to you. They can't pray to any other god. And let's just throw in there, because it probably won't happen, but if somebody does pray to another god, we'll do like throw them in a den full of lions. And the king's like, yeah, I mean, it's probably not going to happen. Everybody knows I'm the god. So yeah, let's do that. Den of lions. Okay, sounds good. And they write it into law. The bad part is these particular kings were really big, like the Medes and the Persians were really big on what they write into law they cannot change. Even the king can't change it. And so they write it into law. And so let's see what happens in Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, because here's a place where Daniel was faithful. He was faithful in his devotion. He was faithful in his work, and he's faithful in his devotion. Verse 10 says this: when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had windows in his upper chamber open towards Jerusalem, and he got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and a plea before God. A couple of things I want to point out. The words done previously also mean as was his custom. In other words, Daniel was very consistent and faithful in his devotion to God, so much so that verse 11 says that the guys who were against him knew exactly where to find him, knowing exactly what he was doing, because he was so consistent in his devotion to God. And so they showed up. They knew how to trap him. They showed up. They knew that he wouldn't back down. They knew he was going to be praying. They knew he prayed three times a day. They knew he prayed in the exact same window, in the exact same spot, every single day. And that's how they caught him. That's how they got Daniel. And I thought about that because in Luke chapter 22, verse 39, the Bible says this about Jesus going out to pray. He says, and he came out and went, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. You know, the same thing happened to Jesus when in this particular story that we're not going to get all the way into. But the Bible says that's how Judas knew where to find him to bring the soldiers to betray him and have him arrested. Because Jesus was so consistent in his devotional life that he went to the same place to pray every single time he prayed. Now, my question for us as individuals is, are we faithful? Are we consistent in our devotion? One of the things I've really tried hard this year, like my goal this year has been personally, is to be as faithful and consistent in my devotion as I possibly can. I mean, my goal is to get up about the same time. I got a range. I'm not a robot, right? But get up about the same time every day. Go to the same table. Sit in the same chair. Get out the same Bible. Get out the same journal. And I sit down and I begin to read. I pray the same prayer every single day. God, reveal yourself to me. I don't need to see myself in the Bible. I need to see you. And so I pray that prayer. And as I listen to my Bible and I read my Bible and I begin to journal, I begin to write down. And my goal is every day to write something down, some place where God has shown me something. It doesn't make me special. It's just something I want you to know that I'm not just up here preaching to you. I'm trying to do. And I use the word trying because, listen, there's some days when it's hard. There's some days when it's difficult. There's some days when schedule gets out of whack and you got to do it at a different time. Friday, I had to coach the 5 a.m. CrossFit class. And so I'm up here at 5 a.m. and everybody's like, oh, you're up early. And I'm like, no, I'm always up. I mean, the up is not the problem. I said, I'm just out of my routine. And someone said, well, what would you be doing right now? And I looked at the clock and I said, well, right about now, I'd be about halfway through my Bible reading. And then it's crazy. They didn't want to talk to me anymore. And so and so Friday, I had to find another time to do it. But I had to find the time, right? And so that's one of the things for us we've got to be able to do is just learn to be consistent. We keep saying, God, I wish you would talk to me. And then we randomly talk to him throughout the week or month or year. God, I wish you would just speak to me through your word. But we randomly read our Bibles and we don't really get into it. Listen, just learn to be consistent. It's not about being a robot. It's not about ritual. It's not about routine. It's just about consistency. It's about being faithful. You don't have to do it the same way I do it. Do it the way you do it. But have a custom. Have something that you do. The third arena where Daniel was faithful is he was faithful under pressure. We're going to read a couple of verses here, about four verses. And as we read them, we're not really reading about Daniel. And I'll explain why. So the guys bring Daniel to the king. They say, hey, he broke the law. He was praying to his God. We don't hear anything. Daniel didn't say anything about it. It's funny to me. Daniel doesn't say anything. The king gets upset because he's got to put Daniel in the lion's den. And I just think it's interesting. Well, let's just read it. Verse 14. Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored until the sun went down to rescue him. Listen, the king's upset. We don't see Daniel getting upset at all. The king's upset. Why? Because the king knows. He knows Daniel did it. He didn't even have to ask Daniel. There's no place in here where they say, Daniel, did you really pray to your God? Nope. The king's like, dang, I got tricked. I know he did it. Because that's who Daniel is. He's consistent. He's faithful. Verse 15. Then the men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, Now, know, O king, that it is the law of the Medes and the Persians, that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed. In other words, he keeps trying to find a loophole in the law. And they said, hey, man, you wrote this law. There's no loopholes in it. You can't get out of it. He's got to die. Verse 16, then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, may your God, listen to this faithfulness, whom you serve continually, deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid at the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. A couple of things I want you to notice. Who is the stressed person in this story? The king. The king's the one stressed. Who's not stressed? Daniel. We never hear Daniel complain. We never hear Daniel whine. We never hear Daniel try to plead his case. We never hear Daniel say, I'm going to find a loophole. All we hear is the king is upset. Daniel quietly walks himself into the lion's den and they roll the stone in front of it. Daniel was consistent. He was faithful even under pressure. When we were in Guatemala, we were on our missions trip, and we had every night someone different got up and gave a devotion. And I think it was the night Erica gave the devotion. Did you give the tea devotion, Erica? Was that you? The tea devotion, the cup of tea? And so Erica gave the tea devotion, and she was talking about carrying a cup of tea. I'm going to butcher it. You need to just let her tell it to you. But if I let her on stage with the microphone, I'll never get it back. And so... So she was talking about this tea, walking with tea, and then someone bumps her and the tea spills out. And she was talking about you find out what's in your cup whenever you get bumped, like whenever you get hit, whenever you're under pressure, you find out who you really are. And that's the way for all of us. How many times have we been put under pressure at our job, in our home, spiritually? How many times have we been put under pressure and then we find out who we really are? The attitude comes out, right? Maybe your husband woke you up too early in the morning. I don't know. Perry's not here. She's at a baptism for another kid, so I can kind of skirt around some issues in our family, maybe get some healing. But you find out who you are whenever you're under pressure. And I'm so thankful that I'm telling all this stuff about Daniel and that we get to the point in Daniel's story where he's under pressure and we find out who he is. He's quiet. He's consistent. He's faithful. He never backs down from the challenge. And I love that about Daniel. James says it like this in James 1:12. He says, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. Jesus said, I didn't put this verse in there, but Jesus said this in Matthew. He says that at the end, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. That there's going to be a place, he says, there's lots of trials and tribulations, and a lot of people's love is going to grow cold. We find out who we are whenever we're under pressure. Are you going to be faithful, or are you going to be an emotional wreck whenever pressure comes? The last arena where Daniel was faithful is that he was faithful to God. In Daniel 6, 19 through 23, we read that this is the end of the story here. It says, then at the break of day, the king rose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually or faithfully, been able to deliver you from the lions? I like the fact that even the wicked king can see the faithfulness of Daniel to his God. Daniel is faithful to God. He says this, "Then Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him and also before you, O king. I have done no harm.' Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found in him because he had trusted in his God." If we want to continue in the story, it gets pretty dark when the king takes all those people that turned against Daniel and their families and put them all in the lion's den. And the Bible says that before their feet hit the ground, the lions had broken them up into pieces. Pretty scary stuff, so we're going to just skip over that. But I already told you, so you have nightmares tonight. A couple of things I want you to see is the king noticed that Daniel served continually. He was faithful. And then Daniel said, "Listen, I've been found blameless, not only in my God's sight, but in your sight." Daniel's not perfect. We're not saying that Daniel is some kind of Christ. He's not. Daniel's not perfect. He's normal like any of the rest of us. He's a normal dude. He's just super faithful. And he's faithful in his job. He's faithful in his devotion. He's faithful under pressure. And he's faithful to his God. And I think this is where my problem with American Christianity is today. It's because I've been to other countries. I've lived in other countries. And I've seen how Christians in other countries don't have what we have. They don't have the blessings that we have and the freedoms that we have. And yet they remain faithful to God. And then here we are. We show up in America and we got everything we could ever want. We got a nice building and some padded seats and some plastic seats. And we've got all this great stuff. We're out of the weather. And listen, and here's the problem. And we're still, as Americans, not always faithful to our God. We're up and down on him. We're hot and cold on him. And it's just like, at what point can we just learn to be faithful? I told my wife the other day, I said, my goal in life is not to always be on a mountaintop or be in a valley. My goal in life is just to be stable. And if I'm kind of boring, that's okay. I'll be boring and be stable versus being that guy that's a lot of fun and then also might murder somebody, right? Like, I don't want to be that guy. I want to just be stable. I want my reputation to be faithful. I want my kids to grow up and know that dad may not could have taken us to every little place and taken us on these great vacations, and dad may not have been able to do all this stuff, but dad was just stable and consistent and always the same guy. And you know what? I want that for you too. I want people to look at our church and I want them to see that those people over there, they may not have the best, you know, the brightest and the flashiest, but the church people, they'll love you and they love Jesus and they're just stable. I think that's a good thing. So let's look at what the Bible says, what Jesus says about it, and then we're going to close. There's one story that Jesus tells in Matthew 25, and this is the end of the message. So if you're ready to go, we're almost there. Saints, play at 12. I will have you out. Matthew 25, verse 14. Listen to this, and I want you to pay attention. I want you to see yourself. I know normally I say we need to see God. We need to see Jesus in the scriptures. Absolutely, you should. And I'm going to point out what God wants here. So if you're taking notes today, I want you to write down God wants blank. And we're going to show you what God wants. But I want you to find yourself in the scripture today. Verse 14 of Matthew 25, it says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To each one he gave, or to one he gave 5 talents, another 2, and another 1. Each according to his ability, and then he went on his way." So the man is going on a trip. He calls 3 servants. Y'all don't stand up. I did that. Like I wanted y'all to come up here. He calls 3 servants, and he says, "I'm going to give you 5 talents, whatever these talents are. It's a form of currency. I'm going to give you $5,000. I'm going to give you $2,000. I'm going to give you $1,000. And it says his initial trust was based on their ability. So these guys did have some level of ability that the king or the rich man was looking at. And that was where his initial trust was based. And he said, "I'm going to give something to you based on what I feel like you can do." And then in verse 16, he goes on his way. Verse 16 says, "He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them." So he's investing them. And he made 5 talents more. He doubled the money. Verse 17. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. So he gave him $5,000. He brought back $10,000. The master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. So what is it that God wants? I want you to look at that again. Verse 21. Well done, good, not great, not stupendous, good and faithful. Not talented, not able to sing and preach and not able to lead. He doesn't say, well done, good and, you know, business-minded guru. He doesn't say that. He says, faithful. What does God want? God doesn't need you to be great. He needs you to be good, and he needs you to be faithful. Maybe that was just for the guy that got a lot of stuff. Verse 21. Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. I love the fact that God says, you were just faithful with little stuff, and I'm promoting you to bigger things. You may think your job is menial and boring, but if you can learn to be faithful in the little things, then God can promote you to bigger and better things. You may think that your family is insignificant and nobody, and just we're just a little family, and we got nothing. We don't have a lot of money. We don't have a lot. But if you'll be faithful in the little things, God can trust you with bigger things. Verse 22. And he also said to the one who had 2 talents, came forward, and the master, you delivered me 2 talents. Here, I've made you 2 talents more. His master said to him, well done. There it is again. Good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. Verse 24 is where it gets bad. He also said to he who had received the 1 talent to come forward. And he said, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you didn't sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, have what is yours. And notice what the master says. He says, the master answered him, you wicked and slothful servant. You wicked and slothful servant. The word slothful there means lazy, idle. And another thing it means is unwilling to act. Verse 27, then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. I want you to notice something. God doesn't abide with lazy people that are unwilling to act. He says, I'm going to take what little bit you've got, and I'm going to give it to the guy who is what? Good and faithful. When I read that first about the slothful and the wicked, I thought, and the guy says, I was afraid. The fear was just his excuse. At the end of the day, he just didn't want to do his job. And you would think, if you saw the other 2 guys doing their job, you would think you would want to do your job too. He just didn't want to act. And I'm wondering, God has entrusted the kingdom of God to us. You know, when Billy Graham was doing his crusades, they say statistically, I use this a lot because it's just so heartbreaking to me. But they say that statistically, only about 3% of the people that came down and made a decision for Christ in a Billy Graham crusade were still in church a year later. And you know who I heard that from? Billy Graham. Like, it's not just a made-up number. It's their fact. What happened? Billy Graham opened the door. Billy Graham invited everybody to the party. But you know what? There was nobody in the church to welcome them in. There was nobody at the party to welcome them in. And folks, God has entrusted us, this little church in Trustful, Alabama, with a piece of his kingdom. He's entrusting us every Sunday morning. He's going to bring people in. What are we going to do with them? Are we going to be good and faithful? Or are we going to try to be great and inconsistent? Or are we going to be kind of lazy and just kind of stick to our own and bury our gift with just my little clique and my little friends? What are we going to do? Are we going to preach great messages and then everybody go home? Or are we going to try to disciple people and get our hands dirty? I don't know. This whole thing just kind of convicts me a little bit. Kind of hurts my feelings a little bit. Why don't you stand up with me today? He's not looking for wealth. He doesn't care who the richest person in this room is. He's not looking for talent. He doesn't care who the most talented person in the room is. He's looking for faithful. He's looking for faithful. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, this is why he looks for faithful. If we confess our sins, the Bible says he is faithful to forgive all of our sins. Why does he look for faithful people? He looks for faithful people because he's faithful himself. And he says, I created you in my image. I created you to be faithful. I created you to be consistent. So our job today is to be faithful. Maybe you haven't been faithful to him. Maybe not just in your work. Yeah, maybe I need to do better. And you know, Tony Robbins tells me that all the time. And you know, I need to do better in my job. Yeah, sure. And maybe I just need to be more faithful in my devotion. Yeah, you need to get up and read your Bible. You need to pray. You need to journal. Whatever the case is. Yeah, you need to do that. You need to be more faithful in your devotion. And maybe I need to have a better attitude whenever pressure comes. Absolutely, you should. But you know what? At the end of the day, if you're not faithful to God, none of the other stuff matters. And maybe today you're sitting out here and you're saying, Gabriel, I haven't been faithful to God. I haven't served God. I haven't given him my life. I haven't submitted everything I have to him. The Bible says if you'll confess that to him, he's faithful. He is faithful. He never wavers. He's never inconsistent. He is faithful to forgive you of your sins and cleanse you, the Bible says, of all unrighteousness. So today we're going to pray, and the prayer team's going to come down to the front right now. They're going to walk down here, and if you need prayer for anything, if you need prayer because, Gabriel, I've been having a bad attitude under pressure, I'm not showing up to work with a godly attitude and with faithfulness like I should. I'm not doing the things I'm supposed to be doing. And Gabriel, I need some help today with my devotional life and just seeking after God and seeking his face. Whatever the case is, yes, we want to pray with you. Maybe you need healing or you need a miracle in your home. Whatever the case is, we want to pray with you. But number one, most important, we want to pray with you if you're not faithful to God. If you need to give him your life. If you need to confess your sins. That's what we're here for today. We're here to help you. We're here to open the door to you. We're here to welcome you in. I'm going to pray over you. And then these guys are going to sing one more song. As they sing, if you need prayer for anything, slip out of your seat. Come down to the front. Let us pray with you this morning. God, I just pray one prayer over these people today. And I just pray, Father God, that you would make us faithful. Help us today to seek after you. Help us today to know you. Help us today to be faithful, to love you, and give you everything that we've got. I pray for our hearts right now, God, that your spirit would begin to move on us, that you would draw us today. Draw us to a place of faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.